37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Let's read the Word of God together, please. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you forth out of your graves. Shall put my spirit in you, ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One king shall be their king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so that they be my people, and I will be their God. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, bless thy word and our meditation upon it this morning to our hearts. And grant that our God, that we might know that even, Lord, in what thou hast already done in the land of Israel, that our God, that thou art still sovereign, that thou this day art working out thy plan and thy purpose, not only for Israel, but for the world that thou hast created
and the people that thou hast made. And so, Lord, we thank thee today that we worship a sovereign, almighty God who has already told us the end of the story. We thank thee, our God, thou art the beginning and thou art the ending. Thou art the first and thou art the last. We worship thee today. O God, we love thee. And we thank thee for the gift of thine only begotten Son. We pray that each one might know and love him as their Savior and as their Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. We have been considering for a few Sunday mornings the God's future for the land of Israel. And though we have seen her scattered, they became two nations and they were scattered abroad. Yet God said that he would gather them. And we noticed in this passage of God's word that God said that they would be no longer two nations, but that God brought them together. God brought the stick together and they would become one nation and they would become one people. And they would become one king over Israel. And as the governments of the world looked upon Israel, they saw her destroyed. And yet as God in his sovereign purpose and plan looked upon her, God saw her delivered. And on May the 14th, 1948, modern Israel as a nation entered the family of nations once again. We read this morning in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And Ezekiel the prophet was brought into a valley and it was full of dry bones. They were bones. The flesh had not been upon the bones. They were lying there. They were just old dead bones. They were dry bones. And God said that these dry bones were like the people of Israel, like the nation of Israel. And the question was asked in this 37th chapter, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And as they looked upon the nation of Israel, it was, as it were, a people scattered, a people who had forgotten the Lord, a people that turned their back on God, a people was, as it were, dry bones. And the question was, could those bones live? Could God bring the body together again? In other words, the bones, the body had decayed. And the flesh had been removed. And the bones had just, because of the years, had fallen apart. And the question was this. Can these dead bones, can they live? Can these bones be brought together again? Could Israel be brought together again? And the house of Israel become a nation again? And of course it says, the answer from the servant of the Lord says, O Lord God, thou knowest. And then God says, he said, prophesy unto these bones. Say, O ye dry bones, verse 4, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Can these dead bones live? The answer, yes. Because God has purposed. Because God has planned. Thus saith the Lord. There was a secret that the bones could live. Thus saith the Lord. And of course, the psalmist in Psalm 130, he said concerning himself and concerning the people of Israel, could turn back a moment to Psalm 130, he said in verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. You notice as he opens that psalm, he says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O God. And when the psalmist was writing those words, he was writing it in the depths of distress, if not from circumstances, then from conscience. And he felt like the shipwrecked sailor, out of the depths have I cried. The ship has fallen apart and he has been thrown out into the angry waves and the raging sea has dashed apart the ship. And he is thrown into the waters, out of the depths, just like Jonah. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And then he says this, Lord, hear my prayer. Verse 5, he says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And then he says this, let Israel hope in the Lord. You see, he found that God was the answer to his prayer. That God heard the cry, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And he knew that only God was the answer. I wait for the Lord, and in his word do I hope. And here the psalmist is confident, just as God delivered him, so the Lord will deliver Israel. Look at verse 8. He shall redeem Israel. He shall redeem Israel. It's the Lord alone is the one. And of course, we're always wise to look for the Lord for help. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. I was with our brother Desi last evening, and as I was talking to him, we thank God the Lord is continuing the healing process, and the kidneys is taken, and thank God it is the operation has been a success, and we do thank God for that. And you know, we're talking together, and as we were sharing together, and Joy and Desi and I were talking together, you know, he was talking about the time whenever he was praying to the Lord and waiting, and how hard it sometimes it is to wait. We want the answer now. We want God to do it now. Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. Out of the depths have I cried. Out of the depths have I cried. And surely we say, Lord, because I'm in the depths, I'm about to be consumed, as it were, by the angry waves. Lord, you've got to answer now. But our brother Desi had to wait. He had to wait. But thank God the Lord heard that cry. And the Lord provided for the need. And the Lord provided the kidney. Just exactly, it was his match. God has a time. God has a time, friend. And you know, when you cry unto the Lord, maybe God hasn't answered that specific prayer that you've been looking to the Lord, and God has laid it upon your heart. It's not something of the flesh, but this desire has been implanted in your soul, and you know it's of God. And God has given you that burden, and God has placed it upon your heart, and you've been waiting upon God. He said, listen, my soul doth wait. And that's what you and I need to do. But he says this, in his word do I hope. I'm trusting his word. I'm resting upon his sovereign word. And you know, the psalmist knew that when it was man would fail, but thank God, in the midst of man's failure, he was driven to the Lord. And you know, I was just thinking about, you know, God shouldn't be our last resort. He should be our first resort. He should be the one we should run to first. And is it not true that quite often, he is the one when there's nobody else is there, when nobody else can help us, when nobody else is available, then we cry out unto God, oh God, please help me. When your back's against the wall, and yet, we ought to have turned to him first, sought his face first, because we need to come before him. And the psalmist was taught this lesson, my soul waiteth the Lord more than they that wait for the morning. You ever been sick? You ever gone through a very dark night, friend? And you know, you're waiting for the morning to break. Just waiting for the morning. And the psalmist says, just as you long for the morning, because somehow when a new day comes, somehow you're rejuvenated. I always think when I've been sitting with people in hospital, there's a time that's very dangerous during the night hours. And especially from about 12 o'clock to about 5 o'clock in the morning, those are danger hours. Because the body seems to, as it were, take a dip. Now, I'm not talking, I don't know about the medical side of it. Though, whenever I got a doctorate, I remember the person ringing up and said, listen, can you come and see my husband? And I was in real trouble. And then another person landed at the door, and I was in greater trouble. because they're looking for medical advice, and I couldn't give that. But I could pray, and thank God the Lord answered prayer, even in those circumstances. But you know, there's a dip. But somehow coming to 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, there's the breaking of a new day. And I've seen it in the years that I've sat, over 30 years, I've been sitting with people in the hospital, and there's the breaking of the day. And somehow, with the rising of the sun and the freshness of a new day, there seems to be fresh impetus and zeal and strength comes into a person's body. They seem to get a freshness of life. That's what the psalmist is saying. Listen, watching for the morning, waiting for the breaking of the day. And friend, maybe that's what you're waiting for. You're waiting for the breaking of the day. Because you know that fresh zeal and fresh strength will come, because God promises strength for the day. And the psalmist says, my soul waiteth for God. And then he says this, let Israel hope in the Lord. Because let me tell you, Israel's hope is in the Lord. Now notice what it says in verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Now notice what the psalmist didn't say. He didn't say, let Israel hope for mercy, and let Israel hope for plenteous redemption. He didn't say that. He says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. And with the Lord there is plenteous redemption. The secret was in the Lord. And what I say to you today, as we come to the end of an old year, and we're going, if God spurs and allows and permits it, that we enter into a new year, friend. Listen, get your eyes on the promiser, and then you can claim the promise. Get your eyes on the Lord. He's the one that has given us the promise. And when you get your eyes upon the Lord, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with the Lord there is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Israel's hope and Israel's helper is in the Lord. Now let's quickly turn to the book of Romans chapter 11. Very quickly, in the closing moments of our meeting this morning. Eli's time just goes so quickly. But Romans chapter 11. And the book of Romans is a book of good tidings. Good news. It certainly is the gospel. And chapters 1 to 4 of the book of Romans, it's good news for the unbeliever. Because God has provided in Christ, God has provided a remedy. And then in verses or chapters 5 to 8, we have good news for the believer. Because it starts there that we have therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Well, that's good news. We have peace with God. And then in chapter 8, it says there's now therefore no condemnation. And there's no separation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then chapters 9 to 11, it's good news for Israel. Good news for Israel. And notice, as he opens this section of the book, the sovereignty of God for Israel. And Paul is writing here, and he says this. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He was a broken-hearted man. He said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What an amazing statement, friend. What an amazing statement. He said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. In chapter 10, verse 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And yet, many in this congregation have got unsaved loved ones. And I say this as a challenge, friend. Many, he said, my prayer to God, for Israel is, my heart's burden, my heart's desire, is I might be saved. Can you honestly say that concerning your unsaved loved ones, friend? Many of God's people, let me tell you, many of God's people, they never think of a prayer meeting. And yet their loved ones are going to hell. They never think of it. Never seems to enter into their heart's mind. He said, my heart's desire. He said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. According to the flesh. And here was a man whose heart was in total heaviness because of the darkness of his brethren, according to the flesh. His kinspeople, his country folks, in other words, because of the darkness they were in. And his desire was that they would be saved. Go to chapter 11, verse 25. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is happened to Israel. Blindness in part is happened to Israel. And that's what burdened him. His heart was burdened because of the blindness, of the darkness of his own kinspeople, his own country people. And yet they were a people so privileged. So privileged. How privileged were they? Well, for a moment, go back to chapter 9. He says in verse 4, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? And the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. He was talking about his own kinspeople. He's talking about his own kith and kin, friend. He said, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth adoption? You see, at the commencement of the natural history of Israel, God sent Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And this is what God said. In Exodus chapter 4, this is what God said when he was bringing them out. He said, and the Lord said, Exodus 4, verse 22, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Israel is my son. There's the adoption. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go. God's intervention for his child. Let my son go that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Whose is, to whom pertaineth the adoption? God, in sovereign grace and in sovereign purpose, adopted Israel for himself. And you can go down each one of those. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory? Think of the tabernacle. Think of the temple. Think of the glory of the Lord. As God came down into the midst. What was the glory? What made the people special? What made them special? It was the presence of the Lord that made Israel special. See, how do I know? Exodus chapter 33. And in Exodus chapter 33, it says in verses 14, 15 and 16, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. It was the presence of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of the Lord among his people. But Israel blinded. Israel is blinded in part. And when we come to the 11th chapter, it says, what then? Verse 7, 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. The rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they shall not see, ears that they shall not hear, unto this day. They have a blindness. And Israel was blinded. Blinded in her relationship to God. Blinded in her relationship to Scriptures. Blinded into her, in her personal condition. She could not see. She was ignorant of her own condition because of her rejection. Because of her rejection, God turned to the Gentiles. Look at chapter 11, verse 18. Boast not against the branches, for if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. But notice, God still yearns for his people. God hasn't finished with Israel because God has preserved her. God has preserved her. And in verses 25 to 27, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until. Just mark that. Until. Yes, she's blinded in part. Until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. In the verse 1 of chapter 11, the question is asked, hath God cast away his people? Has God cast Israel off? Has God forgotten her? Notice the next words. God forbid. God forbid. God has not cast away. God forbid. I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abram, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. And what Paul is saying here is this. God hasn't cast Israel off. He says, look at me. I'm proof positive. God has not cast away his people. Every converted Jew this morning is likewise a living testimony that God has not cast her away. And then he appeals to Scriptures in verse 2. Would ye not what the Scripture saith of Elijah, how he made intercession to God against Israel, said, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, even so them at this present time also. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a remnant. But there is a blindness. There is a blindness upon Israel today. But thank God, God hasn't cast her off. Verse 10, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. God forbid. What does it say that have they stumbled that they should fall? You see the word fall? It means irretrievably fall. Irretrievably? No, it doesn't. God forbid. But rather, through their fall, and the word there is to fall aside, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Yes, God has a remnant. Her blindness will remain until God has fulfilled all the fullness of the Gentiles. And then God will save Israel. All Israel shall be saved. I wish I had time. I'm just running over this very quickly this morning because time's away. But friends, read it yourself, study it. God will save Israel. And the king shall set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. And he shall reign. Thank God he'll set up his reign for 1,000 years. The king is coming. Let me ask you a question as I finish this morning. What about you, friend? What about you? Are you ready? Do you know the Lord? Are you sure that you're saved? This is your day. This is the day of opportunity for you. The fullness of the Gentiles is about to come in. This is your day of opportunity. Will you seek him while he may be found? Will you call upon him while he's near? Or will you let your day of opportunity pass? Then shall they call, but I will not answer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, realize today that this is a great day of opportunity. A day of opportunity for men and women gathered in this thy house. And yet, our God, there are those, and they're still not saved. They've heard thy voice. They've heard thy call. They've known what it is for the Spirit of God to draw near to their hearts and the pull of the Spirit of God upon their soul and their conscience. And they're conscious that it would be an awful thing to fall into the hands of a living and a righteous and yet an angry God. And yet they're not saved. They're not ready. Oh, we thank thee that thou art not finished with Israel. We thank thee that thou shalt save them. We rejoice that thou wilt fulfill every promise that thou hast made. Lord Jesus, thou shalt reign over your people. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that you're Lord. Oh God, in mercy, speak this day. Turn the unconverted. Ere an old year passes, Lord. Ere they leave aside 2002 and stand on the day of judgment and give an account of the sin of this year and the shame of this year. Oh God, save them now. Bless thy word to all of our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name.